Well, we're in our series on dealing with messes in our life, and this is our third message. We're dealing with how do you deal with relational messes. Remember the first week, we talked about the first step in addressing a mess is to admit that you have one. Remember, acknowledge it, that you're a mess, I'm a mess, we're all a mess, right? You know, we've all sinned, we've all fall short of the glory of God. Until you admit that you're a mess, you don't deal with a mess. And so that was the first week, and then the second week, we talked about untangling a mess. Because so many of our messes, you know, the sin so easily entangles us and we get caught up, we can't seem to get out of it. And most of it's an attitude change. We've got to have attitude change in our heart so that we can deal with the messes and we can walk away. So we talked about the attitude is the fact that I want to change. And how do you get to that point? You really want to change. And the other, also that you believe you can change, because most of us struggle with that. We don't think we can change. And we talked about how do you believe in that and how do you connect with Christ who can help you change. So today we're talking about a little more specific things and messes. We're going to deal with relational messes. Rod Snow's here next week. And the following week we're going to try to deal with addiction messes. How do you deal with addictions you can't seem to break and get by that and some help for that as well. So today we're talking about relational messes. I put on a key thought for you that many messes are relationally based. So resolving relational conflict cleans up messes. And we're going to look at a story of Jacob and Esau, because if there's any kids that had problems, brothers that were a real mess, it was them. I don't think your life can get any messier than that. I don't think our lives got messier than the woman at the well that we talked about last week. But these guys, I can't go over three chapters and read it for you, so I'm going to mostly tell the story for you about Jacob and Esau. They were twins. Esau came out first, but they were different. Esau was the manly man, red hair, hairy guy, liked to hunt. Those men here like to hunt, you know, and that's the big thing. Hang out with dad, it was a good deal for them, you know, and they related, they had a good time. Jacob was more of the mommy's girl, less hairy, liked to work in the kitchen, liked to cook, but had different values, little long-term values. Esau was more, you know, thought for the moment. And so Esau, because their culture, because he came out first, even though they're born the same day, he has the birthright. And so he's kind of get blessed above or rule over your family. And Jacob, which kind of his name is kind of schemer, you know, he kind of that based his life on doing that, tricking people into doing that. So he decided he was going to take his brother's birthright. And so Esau, who is all into what's happening at the moment, right, went out hunting and maybe been out there for a long time. He was really hungry, so Jacob's at home cooking, making some good beef stew. You know, he'd be one that liked to help out in our potlucks, you know. So he has this really good smelling stew when Esau comes back and he's just famished and he's so hungry. He says, Jacob, give me some of that stew. Give me some of the stew. Jacob says, all right, sure. Smells good, doesn't it? You can have some of it. All you have to do is give me your birthright. And so Esau, who didn't think about the future, just thought for today anyway, says, who cares about a birthright? I don't know if it was written in a piece of paper, it was a little statue gave to him. I don't know anything about it, what that meant, but he gives it to Jacob. So then later on in life, when his father is getting to the point he's going to pass away and he's old and he can't see, he's going to bless Esau. So, you know, even though Esau maybe missed out on the birthright, if he gets the father's blessing, that's a big deal. You know, God's blessing comes on them and he gets a lot of special things in his life. So the mother, Rebecca hears about this, you know, he's going to bless Esau. She always favored Jacob, so, you know, and God's blessing on him. So she schemed with Jacob, says, well, your dad wants him to go out and hunt and get that venison burgers, you know, bring him in, and then he's going to bless him. And she says, you know, I got some in the freezer. Let me just cook up some stew. Maybe it was salt blocks. I don't know what they had. She had some meat around. We can already cook this up. We'll make you a little more hairy. Put some goat hair on your arms and wear some of Esau's clothes, you know, that I haven't washed because they're a little stinky and they smell like animals. So, you know, your dad, he's not with it too much. He can't see. Disguise your voice a little bit and he'll think you're Esau and bless you. So went through that whole process. And, of course, the father did have some questions about it, but he finally said, this must be Esau. He's got that hairy arms and stuff like that. So he blesses Jacob instead. So Jacob just leaves and Esau comes back from hunting wanting to get this blessing. And so that's where we're going to pick up on this scripture, and he gets really upset because his dad, I can't bless you two. I don't know why a dad can't give two blessings, but he can't give two blessings. He blessed Jacob already, so Esau's left out, and I can't bless you, and he's really mad. So now if you go to Genesis 27, verses 41 through 45, I'll pick up at that point. From that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing, and Esau began to scheme, "I will soon be mourning my father's death, then I will kill my brother Jacob." But Rebekah heard about Esau's plan, so she sent for Jacob and told him, "Listen, Esau is consoling himself by plotting to kill you. So listen carefully, my son. Get ready and flee to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay there with him until your brother cools off. And when he calms down and forgets what you have done to him, I will send for you to come back. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" So continuing the story, that's what Jacob does. He takes off, he leaves with his family, or goes over there, and as you know, that's kind of a stupid plan we're going to look at, and his brother doesn't cool down, but he's gone now probably almost 20 years of his life. So Jacob goes to Laban, and he gets to be tricked. Remember? Now, so this whole trickery keeps going on. He works 7 years because he wants to marry this one daughter, and then on his wedding night, because he's too drunk, can't tell who he's sleeping with, he gets the other girl. And then he has to work another 7 years to win the other one, and then the whole process of him getting robbed from the animals that he's taking care of. And finally, after all of that, he finally says, "I want to go back, and I got to reunite with my brother Esau. You know, why have we spent all our life apart? You know, and I really want to go back." And so he heads back, and he spends a lot of time in prayer. Remember, he goes all night praying, wrestling with God, because he needed a change. And God actually changes Jacob's heart. But he changes Esau's heart, too, and they come together, and they're reunited after all that time. So you see a real mess in a relationship. Probably none of us have that much of a mess that you have somebody who wants to kill you this morning, and how God brings them back after all that time and reconciles that relationship. And if by looking at that story, we can see some of the keys in our own life that are going to help us to resolve messy relationships. So let's just pray and ask God to speak to us. Maybe we're not to that degree, but maybe all of us have some sort of relationships that could learn from these lessons today. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us and help us how to know how to move through a messy relationships and maybe reconcile. Maybe it's been a long time in some certain area that you want us to bring back and get closer to someone again. So I pray that you would speak to us and strengthen all of our relationships through this study. In Jesus' name, amen. I put in your outline for you the story of Jacob and Esau offers a good example of how broken relationships can be restored. But I want to go back, first of all, to see some of the underlying causes of relational messes. Maybe you can see this in some of your relational problems. First of it is basic differences in personality and perceived values in life. These guys are different. I mean, you can't get too much different. Twins, they're not identical. They're certainly different. I guess you call those fraternal twins, do you? If they're not identical, they're fraternal, but they're different. You know, kind of extremes in their personalities. And God planned that, or he knew that anyway. But I think part in getting along with relationships a lot of times is to come to the point of idea and it's all right to be different. How many times we want somebody to be like us? We think they should think like us, have the same values, like the same thing, and they don't. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, my wife and I have had to learn that over the years. You know, she doesn't like ketchup. I like ketchup on everything. It doesn't mean I'm stupid because I like ketchup, right? Or mustard, or she'll put mustard on something, or I'll put mayonnaise on it, you know. And when you first get married, why do you do that, you know? Or why do you tie your shoes that way? We've learned a different way, you know. Or what is your values that are a little bit different? Or why do you like this? Or why do you like sports? And why do you like music? And, you know, it's all right to be different. God made us all different. You know, when you can come in a relationship to say, you don't have to be like me, and I don't have to change you to become like me, you go a long ways towards getting rid of some of those messes in your life. But basic differences cause some of those frustrations. Secondly is jealousy and greed. James says, why is it that you fight and you quarrel? It's because you want something that somebody else has. They have a nicer. They have something better. I should have that. Why do they get that? Why should they have the right to be honored? Just because they can hunt better than I can. Or because they can cook better than I can. You know, we were born only 15 minutes apart. Why should he get the birthright and not me? He's got that, and I should have the blessing. So it's that jealousy factor. How many have ever seen that in your kids? Competition. They have something. I want it. It's a natural thing, but that causes those problems, mostly greed. Why do people steal and they kill people? Because they want what somebody else has, and they think they should get it. So that jealousy is an underlying cause of those messes. Number three, pride. How many of us want the position? We want to be first place. I want the place of honor. I want the birthright. I want to rule over you. It's that pride and selfishness in a relationship that causes those problems. And then number four is anger and bitterness and rage. Now, a lot of people do get hurt. People don't treat them fair. They take their job, they hurt them, they say things. You know, and it's natural to be angry. If you don't deal with the anger, it's going to turn into bitterness, it's going to eat you alive, it's going to separate your relationships, it's going to drive wedges, or it's going to hurt you. It either becomes inward and becomes self-destructive through a lot of different things, and I think when we talk about addictions, you're going to see a lot of that is inward anger, because somebody hurt us, and I'm hurting myself, or I can't get over it because of those things. Or we retaliate, and it goes out, and it hurts somebody else. So those are some of the root causes that you see cause messes in our relationships. Now there's some unhealthy maneuvers that escalate messes. You can control these things. You can't always control your emotions or that you're different, but you can control how you act. And so here are some things you want to avoid. Deception and lying. How many know that that ruins relationships? How many times do I have to counsel people, even in divorce situations, because this is my money and this is your money and I'm hiding this and I don't want you to know what I did here and I'm not telling you the whole truth here and I'm covering things up. It doesn't just be in marriage. It can be brothers and sisters, anything else where it's deception. You're not true. We try to raise our kids, don't we? We ever tell them that? No, if you've done something wrong, at least admit and tell me the truth. I need to know the truth. You're going to get in less trouble than if you're lying and you're deceiving me because you know that lying and deception ruins your relationships. So if you have anything in your relationship that you're just trying to cover up and hide and deceive, it's going to ruin, it's going to make a mess. Second, trickery and manipulation, and I would include stealing in that, because, you know, I want to get my way. It really belongs to them, but I'm going to take it. You know, kids are good at that. You know, I want that toy. And I'm going to trick you to get it. I'm going to manipulate you to get it. Number three is threats and intimidation. I'm going to kill you. That's what Esau said. I'm just put it out there. As soon as my dad's dead, I'm coming after you. But how many times we like to do that in a relationship? People yell. They get mad. They threaten just to intimidate, just to shut you down, to get your own way, to keep you quiet. They'll do that. How about in a marriage situation where I'm going to get a divorce? I'm going to walk out on you. You won't have any money. You'll have no income. You can't do anything. How about kids that manipulate their parents by, well, if you do that, you'll never see your grandkids again. You ever heard that? Ever known that? It's intimidation, and it messes up relationships. When you're trying to intimidate, when you're trying to manipulate, threats and intimidation. Number four, preferential treatment and discrimination. I'm going to treat you one way. I'm going to treat you a different way. Why do parents do that? Why do parents pick sides? Why does parents like one kid because he can hunt and one other ones like the other because he can cook? And why would you talk to one and ignore the other? And how many times in blended relationships and families, which we probably have more of than we have just unblended families now, though these are my kids, I'm going to treat them one way, or these are your kids, and I'm going to treat them a different way. Does that cause messes? It causes messes. You don't show favoritism. You don't show preference. All through the Bible, they did that. Nobody knew how to raise their kids in the Bible. They did that all the time, every story. And God keeps putting it out there and says, it's going to mess you up. It's going to mess up your kids, your relationships, and everything else because you don't do that. You have to treat everybody alike. You have to love people the same. Don't do that discrimination. And number five is triangling relationships. Has anybody ever heard about that? Triangling means you bring somebody else in. You think you're trying to get Jacob and Esau together, but there's somebody else that's on the sideline. It's mom, or it's dad, or it's a brother and sister. You know, I tell that when we come together for counseling with a couple, if there's another woman, they got to be out of the picture. If there's a man, they got to be out of the picture. You know, they might not be okay in bed with them, but they might be talking to them. And you think you're trying to deal with the relationships, and there's somebody else that's there, right? It's a triangle. And it's not just those people that are coming together. You're bringing somebody else in, and it causes messes. Have you ever known that? There's somebody else. There's somebody else giving advice, and it's messing up those relationships. So those are some things, unhealthy maneuvers that you have to get away from if you're going to resolve messes in relationships. And then some reconciliation blockers that perpetuate messes. Number one is probably the big thing is running instead of resolving issues. Run away. Don't deal with it. Now, sometimes we don't go physically. Sometimes we just retreat mentally. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to let it go away. And what does Rebecca says or whatever? He'll get over it. Does he get over it? He doesn't get over it. You don't get over it. Issues aren't resolved by running or hiding or going somewhere else. And then blaming others instead of accepting responsibility for your own messes. Don't we have a tendency to do that? I'm not going to take... It's his fault. You know, Esau, if he wasn't out hunting all the time and thinking about his stomach, he wouldn't have given me his birthright. It's his fault. It's Dad's fault. He couldn't see or hear. He would have got some hearing aids, put some glasses on, maybe he would have known better. You know, and it's interesting to me, even the mother, wasn't it, when she says, you know, when they get over what you did, when Esau gets over what you did to him, then maybe he'll forgive you or you can come back. Don't you think she had a little bit to do with it? Isn't she the one that found out in the first place and told him what he needs to do? But no, you know, Jacob, you'll be all right when he gets over what you did. You know, blaming somebody else is always going to keep any reconciliation from happening. And then probably the big thing, refusing to forgive. I'm not going to forget you. Forgive, I'm not going to forget. I'm going to get even. I'm not going to do that, and it always becomes destructive. I think, man, why did their whole life have to be wasted? 20 years, brothers are apart, and they all that Rebecca had to do is say, come on, let's sit down and talk this out. Instead of run away and go somewhere else and don't deal, why don't we just sit down and talk this out? Come on, you guys are twins. Okay, you're different, that's fine. No, but I had some problem in it, right? You know, I was kind of manipulating that. I thought God's blessings on you, and I just wanted you to be blessed, you know, but I messed it up too, but let's not separate our whole life. She could have solved it. They could have solved it. Instead, they ran, and they didn't. And so their whole life is characterized by that. That's all the bad news. But the good news is that even in those horrible situations, God can reconcile. And he does. He brings them back together. So let's look at how to resolve relational messes from how they got back together. And again, you can read this on your own. You can go through and you can study it out. Number one, you got to be determined to go to your brother and sister and seek reconciliation, even if you're afraid. He was afraid. Isn't that why we don't seek reconciliation? We're afraid. Fear. I'm afraid they'll attack me. I'm afraid they won't listen. I'm afraid they'll blame me. I can't take any more blame. I'm afraid what's going to happen. And at some point, you got to say, I'm going to put that fear aside. This loneliness is too much. The separation is too much. I'm going to deal with it. And you got to stop being afraid to deal with those issues. Secondly, reopen lines of communication slowly. This whole process, and I put on here, send a message or a messenger or send a gift. The Bible says a gift opens up the way to a giver. That's why guys send flowers to their wives or candy. You know, I'm trying to make amends because actually it helps. I mean, it's not going to solve, but it might help. You know, send a gift. So that's what Jacob does. He sets up different things. I'm going to send you 20 lambs or sheep. I'm going to send a messenger ahead, you know, before he gets there. Your brother Jacob's coming. He wants to make amends with you. He's sorry. He wants to, here, take these gifts. Take these gifts. Take, you know, three times or how many times. And he moves it slowly until they can work in. So, you know, don't just try to drop this bomb on somebody right away. Feel it out. You know, see how they're doing. Send a note. Text, you know, can we get together sometime? Use a messenger, somebody in between you. Now, I know you might think, well, you're triangling, but not if you're doing it in the right way. Sometimes that's why a pastor can help when a couple sits down because they always fight and they can be in the middle and say, well, this is, I think, what they're saying. Is this what you're saying? Or this is what I hear you saying. And maybe the other person might listen a little bit more if you can do that. So reopen those communication lines slowly. And third is probably a main thing. Pray for God to go before you to soften the offended person's heart. So many times it's so hard. They put up walls. They're not even listening. You can't even talk to them. They won't even listen. At some point, you have to pray through on it. Jacob prays all night. He wrestles with God. He says, I'm not going to let go of you till you bless me. I know I can't. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill my family, my kids. I don't want them to die. I need your help, and I'm not going to go until I know you're with me. And God was with him. And God was already working on Esau's heart and enabled it. You know, it's a big thing. It's a spiritual thing that God can do through prayer. You've got to seek him. Number four, set up a time to meet your brother and sister face-to-face. That means not Facebook. It means don't Twitter them. Don't call them even on the phone because you can't read a person unless you see them face-to-face. I mean, I have problems. I know 90% of how you come across is your actions. Mine aren't good anyway. But my voice inflection would sound harsh, even if I don't mean it to be, and then my face might look harsh. I guess can't do much about that anyway. But you know the person enough you can read them. So at some point you have to see, I think they're sincere here. It might not sound like it. I think they are. I can read. You've got to be face to face in this type of reconciliation. So you got to set up that time and approach them in a certain way. Here's some ways that Jacob approached Esau that are important for you in these relationships. You got to be humble. Go with humility. Don't go in with, I'm right and you're wrong. If you're going to go that way, don't even try it. You know, be humble. And be with a repentant spirit means I'm sorry. Right? You've got to be able to say you're sorry. And people are so proud, they don't want to ever admit that they're wrong or that they're sorry. And I think a lot of times, because we are different, nobody did anything wrong. I think you did it different, and you didn't mean it. You know, and we think that, well, if I didn't mean to do anything wrong, that I didn't hurt you. Well, that's not true. I threw the rock. I didn't mean it in your direction, but, you know, it hit you. It hurt you, right? You know, so you might not have meant it, but you still have to say you're sorry. And I tell people, at least you can say, I'm sorry that we're distant. I hate it when we're apart, right? I don't want that. I want us to reconcile. I'm sorry that I let it go on for 20 years. Even if it wasn't my fault, it's been 20 years. I hate it. You know, so you have to show that you respect. I don't want it that way. And then that goes with showing words of affection. I love you, or I want to be with you. I can't live without you. I don't want this separation. I can't stand it anymore. Before you even deal with any issues, I'm dealing with this issue because I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want that distance. I care about you. And then the thing we forget about sometimes is offer to make restitution. If you want to prove you're going to be different, I'm not going to hurt you anymore. I want to make restitution for what I did. You know, and that's what Jacob says. Okay, I took your blessing, but I'm going to pay you back. I want you to be blessed. Esau says, don't worry about it. God's already blessed me. I'm not worried about that. But he was showing he was sorry by trying to make restitution. Zacchaeus, when he became a follower of Christ and he was viewed as a tax collector, as a thief, he said, if I've taken anything from anybody, I'm going to pay it back threefold. If you borrowed somebody's tool, give it back. You didn't. Or a car. I'm going to try to pay you back. You know, I don't have it, but I know I owe you. I'm going to try. They might say, no, don't, but I'm still going to try. Because restitution goes a long ways to try to amend things. And so it's important that you put that into the process. So even though you're afraid, you open the door slowly, you seek God to slow and help their hearts, you meet them face to face. And I tell people too, you know, do it, go to McDonald's. They want to fight. They go behind closed doors, they start fighting. Go to a public place because you're always your best in public, because we don't like to be shamed. We don't look stupid. So at least you can go to a public place and you can meet and be on your best behavior. But if you come with a humble spirit, if you come with a repentant spirit, and you share your affection for them, you want to come together, and then I'm willing to try to make restitution here, you'd be surprised that God would soften the other person's heart and that can be made right. I've seen it so often in our own family. I've told you before about my aunts. They got over a fight over a rocking chair because that when their mom died, one's supposed to get the rocking chair. That's all they wanted, and it was on somebody's porch, and the other person stole it before they could get it, and they refused to talk to each other for 30 years over that, and they never did. Went to the grave that way. My dad tried to bring back the other stupid rocking chair. Went to the grave. I'm not talking to you. I have nothing to do with you. Rest of my life over that rocking chair. Jacob and Esau could have gone to their grave over that, and theirs was a lot even bigger offense, but they didn't, because Jacob was willing to humble himself and say, let's put this behind us, and let's do what God wants us to do. So here's the application section. Reconciliation and unity among brothers and sisters is always God's plan. Not sometimes, always. You can't live with that guilt and that separation you're dividing. God wants you to be united with those brothers and sisters and family members. You know, so it's his plan. If you want to know what God's will in that situation is, it's that it gets taken care of. It's either going to eat you up or going to eat them up, or it's going to come out in rage. And secondly, God expects those who are walking closest to him to make the first move. I always tell people, why do you think someone who's not a Christian should act like a Christian? They don't have Christ's spirit. They don't understand forgiveness. We understand forgiveness because we don't deserve forgiveness, and God forgives us when we don't deserve it all the time. We understand grace, and we understand forgiveness, and we understand not proud because we're a mess. So we can be the people that can bring healing into a relationship because we can go in without pride. And we can go in with God's grace and we can change those situations. So I want you to think this morning, is there a broken relationship? Is there a hurt somewhere? Maybe I'm not even directly involved, but maybe God's going to use me to bring reconciliation if I follow his pattern that he wants to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I think probably all of us, there may be somewhere we know some strained relationships, and I would ask that you would take this lesson today, and we're all at a different place. Maybe you want to use us to clean up some messes. And I pray that you would point in my heart, if there's an area that something I need to do or stop doing, maybe I'm doing some manipulation things I need to stop, maybe there's somebody I need to approach, maybe I need to do it in the right way, maybe I don't even know that I've offended somebody, but if somebody comes to me and says that they've been hurt, help me to be humble and not to lash back and say, okay, let's straighten it out. Let's not allow these problems to go on because we want to be whole and we want to be happy. And Lord, you can do it if we will follow you. Teach us, Lord, and help us to follow your will for us in Jesus' name. Amen.